Welcome everybody to another episode of the Sleeper Wire podcast. That's right, and we are breaking into May, and it is after the NFL draft here we are talking about. So before we get started, I am your host, Nick Summerall, and with me today is, of course, my co-hosts, Chris and Hoos. And joining us today is our special guest. He is a senior writer from the RotoExperts.com and Fantasy Sports Network. Please welcome our special guest, Jake Seeley. Jake, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Although you left out top five ranker, top, you know, number one ranker in baseball. Right. Like, yeah, I mean, if you want to throw those things in there, you can always do that.
We wanted to let you toot your own horn.
So. I will happily do that anytime anybody ever asks. I will always do so.
See, that's why I didn't mention anything, Jake, because I knew you were coming on. You know, you're probably going to talk about yourself, and hey, we welcome you to it because we're just excited to have you on. So thanks again for joining us. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to cover though today, guys. But before we get into what happened with the draft, I think we should start off with the news that broke today about Jamaal Charles signing with the Denver Broncos. And since Jake is our special guest, I'll give you first word. What are your thoughts on that right now?
It's a crushing blow to people like myself that were trying to support CJ Anderson year after year after year. Fortunately, you know, I cut him off my friends list last year. I finally said, yeah, I can't do this anymore, buddy. Sorry. But, you look at today, I tweeted out about it. It's Jamaal Charles and CJ Anderson. I would put both if you're drafting today, which is very tough to do, but if you're drafting today, I'd put them both in the RB3 range. Jamaal Charles has obviously the higher ceiling or the highest ceiling of anybody in this backfield, especially with his pass catching ability. I don't think the Broncos want him to touch the ball 20 plus times at this point of his career with all of his injuries. With that being said, we know what Charles brings when he's healthy. But CJ Anderson has upside as well, because if Charles isn't healthy, if he's a shell of his former self, he's not supposed to participate in offseason activities for quite a while. It looks like at least a month or two. And it could still be CJ Anderson's backfield. And to be honest with you, I'm not writing off Devontae Booker yet. And I know a lot of people were disappointed with last year, but I go back to Melvin Gordon 2 years ago. Everybody was writing off Melvin Gordon last year. I'm not saying Booker's going to turn around and be an RB1 this season like Melvin Gordon was, but let's be a little not so quick to push the button to write somebody off and say, oh, you're done. You failed as your rookie season. We don't want nothing to do with you. So as of today, I would rank them in that order, the most upside being Charles, but I think it's going to be potentially a committee, which is just obviously going to frustrate us in fantasy football.
Well, and they also drafted D'Angelo Henderson too. So they have, you know, yep. That's also got to, you know, not bode well for Devontae Booker.
It doesn't as of today. I don't think he brings the same aspect to the game. Here's the thing, is I could be completely wrong. I normally hit on most, and to tout myself, but I normally hit on most players. You know, I get running backs mostly right, wide receivers mostly right. I do so every single year, but I'll miss. I've definitely been wrong before. And the reason I say that is because I had Devontae Booker inside my top five running backs last year. I could be completely wrong, and he could be a bust, and we never see anything from him. But, you know, D'Angelo Henderson, I look at him as somebody that has got a nice base. He fits the zone blocking scheme well, which I think that's the biggest concern for Booker. You know, I look him more as insurance with CJ Anderson being hurt. Jamaal Charles obviously is another person with injury concerns, as I already said. So I could see them carrying four running backs, especially with the injury histories of CJ Anderson and Jamaal Charles. So I don't know that's necessarily, like I said, the death toll for Devontae Booker, but it definitely isn't. It's a concern.
We've seen a lot of free agent running backs, you know, who used to be top 10 fantasy picks, like Adrian Peterson, you know, Eddie Lacy, Marshawn Lynch now back. I mean, which of these guys would you say do you see having the most fantasy value on your team next season?
Marshawn Lynch. I don't even think it's a question in my mind.
Hot damn. That was my pick, too.
Yep. I would put him at the high-end RB2 level. You look at what he's as of still today, and I know he's had time off, but he's still one of the all-time leaders in yards after contact, and just the fact that he's a bulldozer. And we all know, we've seen the runs. We've seen the highlight tape. We see how tough he is to bring down. And you look at this offensive line that made Latavius Murray look pretty good, and we all know Latavius Murray is a volume runner. We've seen that time and again. I think you put him behind this offensive line and a nice offense. The only question here we have is how healthy is he? How many Skittles was he eating in the offseason? Is he in shape? I think that's really what it comes down to. And if he's in shape and ready to go, I know DeAndre Washington is going to be in the mix, and you still have Jalen Richard, but those are more pass-catching options, which, you know, we're not too worried about that when it comes to Marshawn Lynch anyway. So if he's getting 20 carries behind this offensive line, and you saw that Latavius Murray scored double-digit touchdowns in this offense, I think that's a guarantee for Lynch. So high-end RB2, I don't think he deserves to be in the RB1 conversation because of the risk that's associated with him, but if he put RB1 numbers up, I wouldn't be surprised.
That is totally how I feel. I'm in complete agreement. I mean, we had this conversation not too long ago. We were doing a bit of a division breakdown, before the draft. I mean, hard to do, I know, because there's so many variables that could have come from the draft and that did come from the draft. But we were talking about Marshawn Lynch's potential. I was really high on him. I was surprised to see my fellow co-hosts were a little lower on him than I was. So I'm glad I'm not alone, Jake. I'm glad I have somebody out there who sees the light, you know, who sees the Oakland Raiders offensive line for what they can do and the potential that Marshawn Lynch has while he's there. Now, Hoos, I wanted to ask you, because we joked about this on our last show. Well, not joke, but we had a would you rather. So I'm going to ask you this time. Latavius Murray or Marshawn Lynch now?
Now? What do you mean now?
Well, with Dalvin Cook being drafted to the Vikings, you have to assume Latavius Murray takes a huge hit as far as his fantasy value.
You're asking someone who's not very high on Marshawn Lynch because of the injury worry. You know, so, I mean, it's probably not a guy that I'm going to take a risk on depending on where he is drafted. If he falls, sure. But I mean, either guy, I'm probably not going to go reach on. But as of right now, I guess Lynch is a bit more attractive, you know, than, you know, Latavius, you know, whereas before Cook, I would have said Latavius. Yeah.
Which you did. And you did say Latavius. That's right. Why I wanted to ask this. But anyways, I digress. Jake, we brought you on here for your draft expertise. And so I guess my first question for you on this topic is, who do you see coming out of this draft that's going to make the biggest fantasy impact from day one?
And I think it's Leonard Fournette, and it sounds like the easy answer, but it's the truth. And, you know, I don't like what it did for the Jaguars' future. I wouldn't have made that same move because I don't see the Jaguars competing this year, maybe next year. But I don't want to – when you potentially could compete and they have other options to fill, and I know that the offensive linemen in this draft didn't warrant a top 10 pick, but we saw how aggressive teams were in trading. But that's a whole other story. The team sat there and took Fournette. And Tom Coughlin likes to run the ball. We all know that. So you come in, and now that he's the GM of this organization, or at least in the front office, that aspect of the game, they brought in Leonard Fournette, and TJ Yeldon's always been a decent player in all assets of the game, but never really great. And we've seen that. And I know he struggled behind this offensive line, and that's a concern for Fournette as well. But Leonard Fournette is a freak of an athlete when you talk about that size-speed combination. I think a lot of people are going to look at his receiving numbers and not realize that he's a solid pass catcher. No, he's not elite. No, he's not at the top of the draft class when it comes to catching the ball. But he is somebody who can catch the ball and be effective after the catch, so he can stay on the field for all three downs because he's also one of the best pass blockers in this draft class, similar to Ezekiel Elliott last year. And I know a lot of people are going to see the success of Ezekiel Elliott, and some people will get caught up and probably vault him a little bit too high, but I think he's a back-end RB1 because if we look at Jordan Howard last year, who I was very fond of and I said was going to take over at some point, he didn't take over until almost in the middle of the season. There was a game where he led the way in there, and then John Fox screwed around with him and didn't give him the lead options, and then he did again, and then he didn't, and then finally in the second half of the season, he settled into doing it every single week. But I say that because Jordan Howard finished as RB9 last year, even with all of that. So Leonard Fournette coming in as the lead option from day one, being the superior talent, there's no question in my mind. I would actually rank him probably as the RB8, RB9 right now off the board.
Wow. That is...
Wow. That's a glowing endorsement right there, guys. And then the Jaguars took Didi as well, so they definitely added some nice weapons there.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting how, you know, we look at teams sometimes and it seems like, you know, they draft somebody and you're like, wow, that changes the team completely. That, you know, it always happens around draft time. So, Jake, who would you say in the draft, NFL team-wise, we're not talking fantasy at the moment, I just want to get, who was your biggest winner from this year's draft?
As a player or as a team?
As a team.
Actually, You know what? I probably it would have to be the player on the same team. So I'm going to say the same one is actually the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think you can make conversations for others. And I think the 49ers won, but I thought they got a little bit risky in the second half of the draft, especially after the first round. And, you know, maybe that shows that John Lynch is a little green, but that's all expected. We understand that, but they definitely won round one, at least day one. But I look at the Buccaneers having O.J. Howard fall to them, and we can talk about his fantasy value. I think is actually going to be a little bit overrated as a rookie, but from what they added up and down the draft, Chris Godwin was one of my favorite underrated wide receivers, and to add that behind DeSean Jackson, and we all know that DeSean Jackson only has two 16-game seasons to his career, to have that insurance with what I was going to say was the player that I think wins the most is Jameis Winston, to now all have all these weapons. Mm-hmm. And then they added Jeremy McNichols late in the draft, which people look, Doug Martin is suspended for the first 4 weeks. He could come back and probably deserve some of that share. And I don't know how good you can look in the offseason despite the reports, because guess what? You haven't stepped on the field even to practice yet. I mean, you're just doing your own workouts. How good can you look so far? But that being said, Jeremy McNichols has the ability to do a really nice job the first 4 weeks. Heck, if Jaquizz Rodgers can look good in this offense, pretty sure McNichols can. Doug Martin might not come back to a lead role. He might come back to a timeshare. So I think the Buccaneers came into this draft looking a lot better, especially when you include the offseason with DeSean Jackson coming in as well.
Chris, what about you? Who would you say won the NFL draft for you?
I mean, I would have to go with the Browns. I know that might be a cop-out answer, but they had just a hell of a first round, taking Myles Garrett first overall, and then they got Jabril Peppers, who was I don't know if you were on the show, Nick. I know Hoos was when we had Sean Merriman on. Jabril Peppers was his sleeper for an IDP league this year.
Okay, yeah, I missed that show. Yeah.
And then David Njoku as well. So they had a great first round. They did get DeShone Kizer, who they've said that Kessler still has a starting job, but Kizer will be able to compete for it. But the Browns are going to win more games this season. I'm not saying they're going to be a playoff team, but they did not draft like the Browns usually draft.
You mean smart?
they drafted smart, right?
Yeah, pretty shocking and uncharacteristic for the Browns. Who's? How about you? Who was your NFL team that won the draft?
Oh, you know, Chris kind of stole my answer, and I guess it was, you know, I guess the most popular one. So if it sounds like a cop out, but I mean, yeah, you just look at what they did, and you know, they addressed a lot of their issues. I mean, but they're the Browns. The Browns have no problem making picks. It's what they do afterwards, right? I mean, they drafted, Taylor Gabriel, they draft these guys that are good, but then they don't always make good use of them. So, we're going to have to wait and see, the Browns are going to do the Browns.
I mean, like at the same time, they did have 3 first round picks and 10 picks overall in this draft. They were bound to hit on a couple of them.
Right. And we're still in very much wait and see mode, right? I mean, it's still early and there's a ton of things that can happen, just as we did the reviews. I mean, that was all stuff for just for fun. This is all stuff for fun. We don't know that, we're just throwing it out there, throwing darts. And I mean, if we had to guess, I'd have to say the Browns.
Now, listen. Yeah, we could talk about who lost this draft, but we all know it was my Bears. It was my Bears. But I will only make this one case. It is still a wait and see for the Bears, because if they got their franchise quarterback for the next 10 years, which who knows at this point at the moment, but if they did, then it's considered a win, because we all know that's the most important position in all football, and that's all there is to it. And as a Bears fan, I'm not excited with the picks that followed Mitch Trubisky. I thought they were some big reaches, but you know what? It is what it is. I don't know what Ryan Pace was doing this year. It was very uncharacteristic of what Ryan Pace has done. I mean, drafting 3 non-FBS players, I don't know. It seemed very out of, not himself to me. But I don't know. Maybe he's a little nervous about his position going 9 and,
maybe that's what the Bears needed.
Maybe they did. Jake, was there any other team than the Bears that lost for you in this NFL draft?
I think actually it would have to be the Bears. I don't know that anybody else really lost. So I mean, you could look at some other questionable picks, but as you know, to your point though, with the Bears, if Trubisky ends up being a top 12 quarterback, nobody cares what was paid. Nobody's going to say, oh, okay. And they only gave up third and fourth rounders for him. I know it's a huge price to move one spot, and it looks like the 49ers pulled the rug out from underneath them and tricked them to move up to take the second pick. And the bigger question we obviously have is the front office infighting with the GM, the front office wants to do one thing. John Fox isn't on the same page. So that's concerning. It sounds like it actually might force Trubisky on the field this season earlier than it really needs to be done, because if you want to talk about Trubisky as a pure standpoint of his own future success, he's got all the tools. I love his arm. I love his intangibles. I love it. There's a lot to love about him, but he is very raw. One season, obviously, started in college. This is all going to be pinned on him. He needs to sit for an entire year. I hope he doesn't start. And his success and failure is going to be tied to this, and it's a lot of pressure on him, and I hope he doesn't have that pressure mounting on him and feels that pressure, because now it's all looking at him. If he isn't a top 12, even if he's not a top 15 quarterback, it's going to be exactly what we're talking about. It's going to be a busted draft because they paid, you know, 2 threes and a 4 to move up one spot to draft him. I think there's not really a conversation besides them. There was a few reaches, like I said, out there if you want to talk about specific players, but I go through the teams and there's at least one at every single team where I say, you know what, they did a good job. Like even the Ravens, they didn't take any skill position players, but they solidified a lot of spots that they needed. So it's hard to find another team, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what I figured the answer was going to be. As a Bears fan, I knew.
Do you think Trubisky's not going to be playing at all this year? Because Mike Glennon had that quote, I think it was yesterday or earlier today, where he said that he felt cheated by the Bears because they took a quarterback.
I got to tell you what, though. If I'm going to get paid that type of money to be cheated, I cheat on me. No problem.
That was like $18 million or something like that.
Yeah, but here's the real thing. I think Mike Glennon's the only person that didn't realize that he was a temporary solution, and maybe that the Bears were hoping that they hit pay dirt. Like, really, you don't get signed to a 2-year contract and think that you're the future of a franchise. Come on, let's be real here. So, you know, maybe you go out there and throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns and you force the Bears' hand and they give you an extension. Like, wow, we unearthed something here. But at the same time, when you have that kind of contract, you have to say to yourself, you know what, I got to go out there and prove myself. And he really feels slighted. Well, then go out and throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns and force the Bears to have a conversation on their hands where maybe now they have to either trade you, give you the contract, or maybe trade Trubisky and get returned back on the backup quarterback situation. So if you're really worried about it, then go out and prove it. It's on you. It's on you to make your own contract. So go out there if you feel slighted.
Sounds very Kirk Cousins-esque.
He could win this job. And here's the thing. You know, he was at least only guaranteed his big money up front. And that's what I at least liked about the contract as a whole. It's realistically a 1-year contract when you really break down the numbers. But, you know, I hope that they don't start Trubisky from day one. I really do hope they keep Mike Glennon out there as a starter and let this guy develop, because if we rush him out there, he could turn into the next Blaine Gabbert, you know, and then that would be a real bust of a draft at that point. You know, there would be no questions of, you know, well, maybe it could. No, like the guy's not going to develop properly, and that's what we need to happen. So for the Bears' sake, I'm truly hoping that we make the right decision and just keep Mike Glennon out there until he's completely atrocious and we have no choice but to put Trubisky out there. But yeah. But let's bring it back to fantasy, guys. Let's get off the Bears, huh? Like I'm done getting the heat for the Bears.
You're feeling sweaty, huh?
Yeah, I'm a little hot right now. I gotta cool this down a bit. Let's get back to fantasy though. You know, one of my favorite picks for this draft was Corey Davis to the Titans. I love that pick. I think it really truly gives them a number one wide receiver there. I just hope that he can stay healthy. The injuries concern me, but I mean, this guy was massively productive in college. Jake, what is your thoughts on Corey Davis going to the Titans?
Corey Davis was my number one wide receiver heading to this draft, and honestly, if he was in last year's draft, he would have been in the conversation for last year's number one as well, as alongside Josh Doctson, who needs to get healthy and stay on the field. We all know that, but Corey Davis, the one everybody loves player comps because it's just simple for people to listen to that don't dig as deep as we might into the metrics and the abilities and all that type of stuff or watch films. And the person I always compare him to is Terrell Owens. And no, I'm not saying he's definitely going to be Terrell Owens, but he has that type of ability. And I love this fit because I looked at Marcus Mariota in the post-draft rankings that I have to do because I do way too early rankings like everybody does. And I say Marcus Mariota is going to be my number five quarterback for next year, which was bold at the time. Doesn't feel as bold now, especially with Corey Davis coming in here. But similar to Michael Thomas last season, I don't think he's going to be putting up the best numbers on the team from week one. But similar to Michael Thomas, by the second half of the season, he will be the team's number one option and probably knocking on the wide receiver one door. So as a fantasy draft, as of today, I'd probably put him on the wide receiver 2-3 turn, kind of that range. But he will take over and be the best receiver in this team just because he is the best receiver in this draft class. He's a complete wide receiver that does everything you want and has the body to do everything you want. I love this guy's talent.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more there, Jake. Chris, who was your favorite drafted player in this year's draft?
Can I say Malik Hooker by the Colts, just because I'm a Colts fan?
I'll rephrase. How about fantasy football? Let's keep it
fantasy. All right, so for an independent defensive player, individual defensive player, Malik? No, I'm just kidding. I was really interested in where Dalvin Cook was going to go because I really liked him a whole lot. But in Minnesota, you've got Latavius there, and the offensive line was not the greatest. If I had to choose, I think Joe Mixon has the best chance to take over an entire backfield. I mean, he's basically the best parts of Jeremy Hill, which is, I guess he's better than the best parts of Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard put together. So, I mean, he is both of those players just even better. They don't even really need the other two guys. I think Mixon to the Bengals is a perfect fit.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about Bengals taking Joe Mixon just because of, the uncertainty between Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard. And you looked at that backfield for the draft and you were like, I don't really want any part of this. I don't want to draft anybody. Now Joe Mixon's there. And as long as he can deal with his off the field issues and just focus on the game and keep himself clean, I mean, Joe Mixon could be a complete stud in that backfield. So I truly am excited to see what happens there. How about you, Jake? Do you have any comments about Joe Mixon?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He always has been the top-rated running back in this draft class for me. He's the best talent, and that's what we're talking about today. You mentioned the off-field situation, but we're talking fantasy, and that's what we have to analyze. We have to analyze fantasy and what he's going to do once this everything is set in stone. And I like the fit with the Bengals as much as you guys. Jeremy Hill, don't forget, people – the Bengals tried to trade him this offseason. His time is pretty much done. Even if he's still with this team from week one, I wouldn't expect him to get more than 3 to 4 touches per game. Giovanni Bernard, a nice compliment piece to Joe Mixon, but that's probably 6, 7, 8 touches per game. And the guy can't stay healthy. Joe Mixon can do everything. Right. Is extremely talented. As I said, he was the number one running back in this draft class. Not quite Ezekiel Elliott from last year on that type of level, but he's not that far behind. And you put him in an offense where even if Giovanni Bernard's getting 7, 8, maybe even 9 or 10 touches per game, and Jeremy Hill's getting 3 to 5, this is an offense, as we've seen, even when Bernard and Hill were splitting, can support two running backs, let alone a running back getting 60% of the work with the other two getting the 40%. I'm okay with it because he'll probably still be getting 20 touches per game. So I think Mixon is a great fit. We actually did a draft on Saturday, a mock draft to be the first one of the year on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and I took Mixon at the end of the third round, and I thought it was a steal as the 15th running back off the board.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I like that.
I mean, for me, it's a little bold, I'll be honest, but I could warm up to that. I'm sure I could be convinced to warm up to that. I'm sure if I broke down, the rounds and where everybody was falling in a mock draft, yeah. Yeah, I could possibly see myself.
Here, I'll give him to you. Mark Ingram went before him. I would take him over Ingram, given his situation. Carlos Hyde. I love Carlos Hyde's talent. Can't stay healthy. And I love the potential in Shanahan. Again, can't stay healthy. I would take him ahead of him. I would take him ahead of Lamar Miller now that they drafted Dante Foreman, because I moved Lamar Miller way down after that. And after that, the running backs that are left, there's probably 10 or 11 that went before him that aren't those guys. So he kind of falls into that 12-13 range just by default.
Wow.
The Bengals have always – Dalton's always loved to dump the ball off to Gio. So now that he has that extra option and an even better running back with Mixon, I mean, that's just going to be dangerous.
Yeah, I'm not as high on Mixon in this situation. I would have loved – I love Mixon. I mean, I'm surprised he dropped so far. I mean, I'm not surprised because of the situation. I mean, 48th overall, though, man. I mean, he is a super talented back. I would have loved to see him somewhere else. you know, but they don't have the best line, you know, they took a hit, you know, there's a few, you know, it's just mixing the talent. Yeah, I love it. But where he's going to go, I probably, yeah, I'm with Nick. I could probably have to warm up to taking him that high. Yeah.
He might be a good great debate candidate.
Yeah.
He's right. He's a good person. Yeah. I mean, now, you know, who was your favorite fantasy football player drafted out of this NFL draft? Like, who do you think is going to be your guy?
Okay. I like Zay Jones. I think Zay Jones is actually the best wide receiver in this draft. So it was Zay Jones. And I do believe that it's, again, you know, with the news coming out today that, you know, about Sammy Watkins, I think he still has a chance to come out and have a good year, but he's just never put it together. I mean, we haven't seen it. This is gonna be his fourth, fifth year now. It's, I don't know. We haven't seen it yet.
I mean, we've seen the best of Sammy Watkins. We haven't seen him stay healthy, but Sammy Watkins is a huge reason why I won in one of my leagues last year in the championship game. Putting up a monster performance.
Yeah, last week was phenomenal. If you were able to get him in the last week, but you also had performances from Adam Thielen that had phenomenal game. So yeah, you're not counting on that. You just look at what they, you know, they brought in, and I really like that pick for them. It's a clear sign that they're going to move forward.
You know what's crazy? I started both Watkins and Thielen on one team on the championship.
And that's why you won.
That was a pretty high-scoring game.
Yeah. It didn't matter who else you started.
Well, Jake, you know, with who's saying Zay Jones, now that we got clarity on that, care to comment, like, what are your thoughts on Zay Jones going into next season?
I like him more for the future than next season because if Sammy Watkins is healthy for all 16 games, obviously that's going to hurt him. We're talking about an offense that's not going to throw the ball 550 times in a season. That's just not what they are. So there's a lot of appeal. Like Zay Jones, terrific pass catcher. And we all know this. Left FBS is the all-time leader in reception. So we know he can catch the ball. The only concern I have is that a lot of that came within 20 yards of the line of scrimmage. So obviously you love him for PPR purposes. But at the same time, you have to remember PPR purposes in this offense with Sammy Watkins potentially healthy, then you just run the numbers. They're just not going to be there. So I think at the end of the season, he could be somebody that has kind of a wide receiver four value, but was fluctuated throughout the year. Obviously, if Sammy Watkins misses time, that's going to help him, although it will offset a little bit because I don't think he necessarily has the skill set to be a true number one in the NFL, similar to Randall Cobb. And we saw what happened to Randall Cobb when Jordy Nelson missed time. I think that's a good comparison of what to expect of how good he can be as a number two, but the limits he has as a potential future number one. But I like him as long as Sammy Watkins is out there and as long as he shows good chemistry with Tyrod Taylor. I think he could be a valuable PPR piece. And as speaking for PPR scoring, there will probably be at least one or two weeks where in DFS you wish you had him because he finishes the game with seven or eight receptions.
Well, I'm a sleeper guy, so I say something crazy like that, right?
Yeah, our guy who's here, he's like, he goes with the least obvious. And then, you know, most times they hit, but that's the type of guy who's is. That's why we have him around, you know. Sometimes he's not all there in the head, but he gets him right, you know, a lot more times than not. So, but Jake, I wanted to talk to you too. There was a team that interested me with the way they drafted this year, because they had limited picks, and that's the LA Rams. I thought they grabbed two pretty good receivers, and I wanted to get your thoughts on how they're going to impact this offense and if you think they're going to make Jared Goff worth anything when it's all said and done.
Nobody can make Jared Goff worth anything. I'm telling you that right now. I don't care if they would have drafted Corey Davis and Terrell Owens. Give him Terrell Owens in his prime. It's Jared Goff. That's the biggest problem here. And that's the problem is I actually like Cooper Kupp a lot. I actually had him ranked higher than most because if you want to talk about the best hands in this draft class, you start the conversation with a Kupp and you might be able to make a debate for other people, but Kupp's going to at least be in that conversation. Another PPR option, but again, you're talking about a PPR option in an offense led by Goff. You know, now they have Robert Woods in there, and Robert Woods being the number one is nothing to be super scared of, but at the same time, it's not an offense to be super scared of. So that's my biggest concern. And I know Josh Reynolds adds another dynamic play for them and potentially for the future. You have a really nice makings of a 1-2 here. And I would even push Robert Woods down to keep Kupp in the, I keep saying I want to combine his name, his first and last name. keep Kupp in the slot. and, you know, push Reynolds to the outside and have Robert Woods as the number three. I definitely think that could happen given Reynolds and Kupp's talent, but it comes back to Jared Goff's play. They will help him because anything's better than having Tavon Austin as your number two, who nobody should ever draft Tavon Austin. And I try to tell people that every single year, and people still don't want to listen. But that being said, there's going to be a lot of learning curve here just because of Jared Goff in general. And I mean, they're going to have to make up for his deficiencies. They will help. I just don't know how. You're definitely not going to see consistent play for them for fantasy purposes. There'll be weeks where you're going to be like, dang, he was on my bench and he scores that. And you're going to put him in the lineup and Jared Goff's going to throw for 150 yards and nobody's going to have any value.
Yeah, and doesn't everybody love those type of players?
Yeah. There's when I was going through typing up the show notes, I was looking at all the offensive picks from all the teams, and there's a reason I left out the Rams. Just
you know, I just thought it was interesting because – you know, the Rams came into this draft needing so much help at wide receiver. They, you know, Robert Woods and Tavon Austin were their only options, and we know that there's nothing there. I just found it interesting, though, that with the limited amount of picks they had, they still were able to find value in the draft, late in the draft, with Cooper Kupp and Josh Reynolds. So I was just excited for the future, I suppose. So maybe not more of a you know, immediate fantasy impact there, but just something I wanted to touch on. But, you know, Jake, I wanted to go back to something you mentioned before that I find interesting, and I want you to elaborate a little more on, is your issue with Lamar Miller sharing the backfield now with Deontay Foreman. How do you think that's going to play out for next season?
I think from day one we're going to see a 50-50 split, and it would not surprise me if Foreman ends up being the 60-40 lead runner in this backfield, because we can keep clamoring for it. And I've written articles about Lamar Miller and, in fact, on a fantasy points per touch of what he can do, but that number always goes down with the more touches he gets. And for a while there, we're all clamoring for him to get 20 touches per game. But, you know, at some point we have to say maybe the NFL teams know something. Maybe we have to look at it and realize that he's better with limited touches. And that's a very distinct possibility, especially after last year where he disappointed again as the lead option in the Texans. It's just obviously the Texans didn't get what they wanted when they brought Lamar Miller in. And you look at Foreman. Huge body, huge strength, very impressive, powerful runner. He's not going to be used in the passing game. Don't get concerned about that. That's where I think Lamar Miller is going to definitely keep that job locked down. But Foreman's also somebody where, you know, the old cliche is that he wears down defenses, gets stronger as the game goes on. And that's true of him. If he starts getting up to 20, 25, 30 touches in college when you watched him, he was just abusing defenses because he's so tough to bring down because he is such a strong runner. He's so great in between the tackles. And there's a guy, Jason Braddock, that I talk to a lot, also great at covering rookies. And he actually also covers the Texans, lives out in Houston. And I said that to him. I tweeted, I said, you know what? I could see Deontay Foreman being a 50-50, the power back to Lamar Miller and them just being a complimentary role all year long, and maybe even starting to be the lead option. He said it would be a surprise to him if not by the middle of the season that Foreman isn't the lead option, and that's coming for somebody who covers the Texans. So that added to the fact of I got real concerns about Lamar Miller. I can see Lamar Miller not being on any of my fantasy teams this year.
Wow. So if guys, if they're not listening to the show or listening to you, or you know, they're not listening to anything fantasy football related, keep away from Lamar Miller because he could become a big bust for next season if you draft him too high. So
the way that mocks were going right now is, you know, I'm starting to see these trends. I think we've talked about this before about how if you don't get one of those stud running backs in the first or at the very beginning of the second round, you're not getting one. So I was doing these mocks before the NFL draft because, you know, it's what we love to do. If you took, you know, like Julio Jones fifth, Lamar Miller was going to be the best you had as your RB1. And now that's got to change.
Yep. Well, I've seen him going in like the third round, and I think he's going to continue to possibly drop.
He's going to drop.
He's a volume runner. I don't necessarily think he's better with less touches. He's a volume runner. Right? You give him the touches, and then he's going to eventually give you a good game. And I think that's what the Texans kind of like to do. So I agree with that. I think if anything, they're end up going. I believe they're going to end up going with one guy, eventually. And it could end up being Foreman. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's still really early. Still a lot can happen, and you know, Lamar Miller is obviously injury prone. The guy can never stay on the field. So
yeah, would you say Deontay Foreman is the number one, like the best rookie handcuff to have?
No, that's actually one different one I was going to say. I didn't know if we were going to circle around to that, and I was going to bring him up if we didn't. My favorite underrated running back in this draft class, who I ranked at number 5, and it looked like some people had started to finally come around right before the draft on him, and I'm calling him this year's Jordan Howard because he's not going to be the lead option from day one, but at some point he's going to take over just like Jordan Howard did last year, and that's Jamal Williams for the Packers, because Ty Montgomery is great in his own right, but we don't want the Packers don't want Ty Montgomery carrying the ball 20 times per game. They don't want him at the goal line. You saw when they tried to force that issue last year multiple times and finally realized, hey, guess what? Ty Montgomery doesn't work at the goal line. Jamal Williams, I said time and again, he knows what it takes to be an NFL running back. He's got a great blend of every aspect of the game talent-wise. He's got a great lower body disconnect, and you guys understand this, but for people listening, it's the fact that he keeps his body square and keeps his balance going while his legs shift in different directions. I keep telling him, everybody, he's got the Madden button moves. He's got the spin button. He's got the juke button. He's got the bolt, you know, the truck. He's got everything. I love this kid's talent. He's going to take over this backfield at some point. And there's the running back in this backfield, as we all know, because we go back to Eddie Lacy, as Eddie Lacy was nothing, everything great, but it was the appeal of double-digit touchdowns in this offense. So whether it's by week 4, 5, 6, even not even till week 8, at some point, Jamal Williams is going to take over. And once he does, Ty Montgomery's not going to completely go away if he's healthy. He has injury concerns as well. Ty Montgomery will still be in the mix, but at that point, he will be a fringe RB1. I'm telling people as of today, I said the same thing about Jordan Howard last year, so lock it down. Jamal Williams is my favorite stash handcuff. Get him at the end of drafts while everybody else is drafting other people.
Does it not worry you a little bit that they drafted 3 running backs?
No, because they had no running backs. They were just building depth to a team.
Just release Michael. I completely
Kristen Michael's time. You know, everybody who's still a truther for them. Jesus. I think there might be 5 people left.
We got one in our group. Yeah, we got one in our group, and he's.
Oh my god!
We broke the news to him.
5 teams already. Like, yeah. That's unheard of. You know, I was joking around. I was telling our guy Max, I was like, I'm higher on Zach Zinner.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But that's really good insight, Jake. I agree with that. I think, if people are able to draft Ty Montgomery and then draft Jamal Williams late, I mean, they can't go wrong in that situation getting that kind of handcuff that could really pop for them as like Jordan Howard did last season. So that would be amazing. But one guy I'm interested to hear your take on, Jake, is Samaje Perine, who went to the Redskins. When do you think he's taking over that backfield?
I think he could push Rob Kelly from day one. Whether or not that happens, I'm not going to lock it in and guarantee and say what I was saying about Jamal Williams. And, you know, you could go back to last year just to kind of circle back real quickly is, you know, I said that about Jordan Howard. I also said Kent Dixon was the best talent for the Ravens. I still believe so. But as you see, sometimes the coach is hard-headed, and that didn't happen till the end of the year. And it seems like they're kind of okay, even with the suspension for this season. But we can't always, you know, force the coach to do what we see. Sometimes they believe what they believe and don't believe what we believe. And as of today, I think that P. Ryan's going to challenge Kelly because he's a very strong runner, similar to Foreman. He's a little bit better of a pass catcher, but probably not going to be used much. I think that's still Thompson's role, so he's not going to be an every down running back. But if he had the speed that he had at the beginning of his college football career, he would have went much higher in the draft. You know, the injury kind of took that away. I don't know if he'll ever get back to that, and there's a chance it could. But if he ever did, there would be a lot more hype around him. People would have been a lot more excited for what he can do, even as he is of today. You know, Rob Kelly is underrated because he has nice yards after contact. I continually said that last year. But I think this is going to be a nice situation for him to potentially have competition. And I, unfortunately, when you're talking fantasy-wise, I think this ends up being a committee. I think that Peter Ryan Kelly share a lot of the duties. Thompson's the pass catching role, and then we're just not going to have a clear picture for this entire season, which has generally been the case for the Redskins for the past how many years? Ever since Alfred Morris left, it's really been that type of backfield, unfortunately.
Jake, you know, you and I have so much in common, and I'm not just talking about our great looks. I'm talking about our love for running backs. I mean, I liked Jordan Howard last year. I liked Kenneth Dixon a lot last year. I agree 100% with what you're saying about coaches being hard-headed, not really giving them the ball too late. With the suspension, I really enjoy Kenneth Dixon as well. But, I completely agree with everything you're saying about Perine, and I can't wait to see him on the field. I really think he is going to take that backfield. I mean, may not be right away. I'm sure he'll get worked in I'm almost positive he's going to take the role away from Rob Kelly. But Chris, is there a guy in this draft that you would say is your sleeper to hit next season?
I think I'm actually going to go with a tight end, which feels kind of weird to go with a rookie tight end. And it's not going to be O.J. Howard.
Is it going to be Adam Shaheen for the Bears?
No, I'll probably never pick a Bear.
Wow, yikes.
No, it's Evan Engram. I know that Eli did use Larry Donnell occasionally and Will Tye when he was there. But Engram he's a great tight end. They've got a whole lot of pass catching options there with Odell and Sterling Shepard and the signing of Brandon Marshall. So I think that's going to open things up over the middle. So even a rookie tight end, and you know, rookies generally don't make a whole lot of splash at the tight end position for fantasy, but I think he could be a tight end sleeper. Maybe not someone you want to pick up and start right away, but someone to definitely keep your eye on who could emerge by the end of the season.
Okay. I like that pick. I really was a fan of the Giants getting Evan Engram. You know, granted, I think, I think that they could have grabbed, a Dalvin Cook at that point, but maybe they just weren't comfortable reaching for him at that high of a pick because I still felt like they needed to grab, like, no questions asked type of running back. But I think Evan Engram is a great pick for them. They've always needed help at the tight end position, and I think they really got it there with Evan Engram. What about you, Hoos? Is there a sleeper? Because you are the sleeper guy here at Sleeper Wire. So who is your sleeper from this year's NFL draft?
Well, yeah, like I said, I like Zay Jones. I think he's going to do more than what Robert Woods was able to do, you know, in terms of just high quickness overall. I also like Hunt. I also like Hunt. I think he's in a good position, you know, to take over. I don't think Ware's impressive at all. And then Charles isn't there, so I think he has a good chance to take over. So I really like Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, you know, that one's interesting to me, too, and that one slipped my mind, so I'm glad you brought that up, Hoos, because, Jake, what is your thoughts on Kareem Hunt? Do you think he'll take over that backfield from Spencer Ware this season?
Absolutely. He's actually one of my biggest risers from pre-draft to post-draft because of the landing spot. It's a perfect landing spot, in my opinion. And you look at him, and the reason he didn't rank as high as some others in my pre-draft is because I compared him. I liken him a lot to Frank Gore, is that he does a lot of things really well. He's not exceptional. Like, he's not an exceptional pass catcher. He doesn't have exceptional speed. He's not an exceptional power back, but he's just good at everything, like Frank Gore. And Frank Gore made a terrific career out of being good at everything. And I think that he comes in from day one, similar to what was just said, we saw Spencer Ware. Everybody got excited after the first 2-3 weeks last year, and then he just petered out. And Charkandrick West is Charkandrick West. He could be used in the passing game, but that's about it. I think Kareem Hunt is going to come in and be the lead running back from day one. I think people are not paying attention to him as of today. I think by the time we roll around to the middle of August, and I would even say maybe the beginning of August, but more middle of August, he won't necessarily be a sleeper as much anymore. But definitely as of today, I agree with that. He is a great sleeper.
Quick question about the Eagles drafting Donnell Pumphrey. Do you think that Ryan Matthews is gone?
No, actually, I don't, only because I think that Pumphrey is the new Sproles, and basically Sproles' contract's up next year. He's already talked about retiring. It's the easiest comparison to make because it's true. I called Pumphrey very much a Sproles clone before the draft, and I think that's what they brought him in to be. The only running back I wanted this backfield is Sproles, and I don't even really want him that much, and it's only in PPR. I think for the fact that they didn't draft anybody with that much power, obviously, that Ryan Matthews is coming back despite all his injuries. But then again, him being back might mean he's on the field for 2 weeks. So you just never know with this backfield. I would want Sproles. But if Sproles ever got hurt, Pumphrey would have terrific PPR value. That's really where, you know, maybe you don't draft him, but keep an eye on him. Or if you're in a deep league, you can stash him. But and then you might have to you wouldn't have to spend so much on the free agent auction budget-wise.
Whoa, Jake. I mean, hold on. Huh? Christine Michael is a free agent, okay? He could be in the Eagles' backfield.
Actually, don't forget about LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount's still hanging out there.
That's true, too. I'm interested to see where he falls. I feel like he's going to get signed by the Giants, but time will tell.
I was thinking Eagles, and I was also thinking Arizona Cardinals because they drafted T.J. Logan, but it's him and Kerwin Williams behind David Johnson right now, so...
Yeah, not really going to get in there unless injury happens, so yeah. Yeah, no, wouldn't be the best landing spot for him. You know, Jake, I asked Chris and who their sleeper is, and you've talked a lot about these guys that have been drafted, but is there still somebody that we haven't touched on yet who you could say is a real sleeper for next season?
Yeah, well, outside of course, like Jamal Williams, I would say Chris Godwin at wide receiver, and you know, people are going to know about him though because I already mentioned it all before we're talking about the Bucs. Actually, both him and McNichols, because of the situations in front of them. If DeSean Jackson ever goes down, that's great for Godwin. But outside of the ones we've talked about, I would definitely put Jamal Williams at the top of my list. Is people need to not forget about Joe Williams with the 49ers. Look, the guy's got a lot of speed. He's got a lot of concerns passing game wise, but we know that really comes down to is two factors here. Kyle Shanahan loves to use two running backs, as we've seen all the time with Atlanta. And Carlos Hyde can't stay healthy. Now, is it going to be probably a frustrating situation and even Atlanta light because this isn't the Atlanta offense and they're not going to be scoring as many touchdowns and you're not going to be able to start both Hyde and Joe Williams? But the appeal here is that it's a sleeper, and you really want to dig for a sleeper there. If Carlos Hyde ever misses time again, Joe Williams could easily step up and lead that backfield. It won't ever be a true lead backfield because it is Shanahan's offense. I'm sure somebody else would be involved in that mix for Shanahan, and it would still only be 60% of the workload. But given Hyde's history, I think he's somebody that you just draft and stash at the end of the draft in the 14th round. You know, if you, worst case scenario, you have to cut him to make a pickup, but more of a stash, and hopefully for your sake, Hyde gets hurt. Hopefully not for Hyde's sake.
He's the kind of guy that you draft and you hold on to him like all year pretty much, and then Hyde gets hurt, and like while you drop them, someone spends like some fab dollars on them when you don't have.
Yeah, he ends up being a playoff winner for you.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what happened for some people with like a Jeremy Langford, Jordan Howard combo. Right. So I mean, how exciting would that be if that were the case? I mean, granted, I don't know if Joe Williams is on the level of what Jordan Howard is, but you know, I agree though. I love your comparison still about, you know, Ty Montgomery, Jamal Williams. Even though I truly hate the Packers, you know, I do like your comparison. I just would, as a Bears fan, love to believe that Jordan Howard is still going to be a better running back than Jamal Williams, hopefully. But that's my bias talking. I really know for fantasy purposes. We're all hoping that Jamal Williams becomes a great running back and, you know, get some fantasy points for your teams.
Oh, and of course, you have to, if you draft Le'Veon Bell, you have to pick up James Conner. It's the new backup to Le'Veon, but you just have to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too. And that's a great one to get.
So is he your sleeper wire? So we need like the sleeper, not just of this draft, of just.
I mean, he brought up a Joe Williams from the 49ers, man. How much more sleeper can it get?
No. Just like outside of rookies, like leave rookies out of it. Who's your sleeper for this year?
Oh, okay. There you go. That's a good question, Hoosh. Yeah. Is there anybody outside from the NFL draft who you'd say is your sleeper for this year in fantasy?
I haven't thought that deep yet here. I've been so rookie involved for the past couple of weeks. You know,
you take a week, think about it. We'll have you on again next week.
Yeah, no problem. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go right out to the one that I said earlier about being on this guy for his talent and you know, the coach didn't take over and just put him in the game is Kenneth Dixon. I really do think once he's back from suspension, for the fact that has to be a little bit of a feel good for anybody who believes in Dixon like myself, that they didn't address the running back position. And it's only Danny Woodhead. And I know Danny Woodhead will be fine for those first 4 weeks, but I don't think that when Dixon's back is you want Danny Woodhead to really touching the ball 20, 25 times a game, given his injury history, and he might get hurt. I'm still going to go with the talent here. And Kenneth Dixon, I think people are going to forget about him because of what happened last year. They're going to forget about him because of the suspension. And once he's back, I do think he takes over that backfield and is going to provide really nice value, especially, again, if Woodhead ever got hurt. They didn't address the running back, and they did address other positions and make you say, you know what, maybe they finally believe.
It would seem they have to believe. I mean, they have so many running backs there to begin with. So I guess, you know, they must believe in Kenneth Dixon because nobody else there should be even in their thoughts to be competing for that job. I mean, I know You know, Terrence West had a couple of nice games last season. You know, he put together some good games. But really, though, when you break it down, Kenneth Dixon is the answer for them for the future as their running back. So I love that sleeper pick from you, man. I mean, I'm hoping I'm there with you. It's Kenneth Dixon supporter. I'm hoping that that pulls through, man. But Jake, I believe we have all run out of time here with you, and we so much appreciate all the time you've already given us. I mean, you've been on with us for the entire show. So thank you so much for being here with us. And please, I'd love for you to tell everybody where they can find you, support you, and show you some love.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys having me on. I appreciate the nice compliments. Yeah, you can follow me at Twitter at AllInKid, poker reference. I'm sure people could put that together. You can see my work on rotoexperts.com. I actually gave fantasy draft grades, fantasy purpose-wise, to every skill position player that was picked. So you can see that. I'm on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network every day, 11 to 1 and 2 to 3. So you can find me there. And then if you go to the Fantasy Sports Network, you can see videos of me talking about drafts and all type of stuff. So basically, if you just go out there and type in Jake Seely, you'll probably bump into me somewhere.
You see that sexy face of his.
Yes.
And that's how we're going to end it, Jake, with a creepy note. No, Jake, seriously,
you can
though.
You count on me to do it.
Thanks again, man. Jake Seely, everybody, please go find him. Go check him out. He's got some great insight on some stuff, and please go support him. Jake, thanks again, man. Appreciate it. Chris, please tell everybody where they can find us and support us and maybe show us some love.
Yeah, you can find us at sleeperwire.com. We have all of our weekly rankings up there during the season. Website is in progress, but we've got a lot of cool stuff coming. You can find us at Sleeperwire Show on Twitter. You can send us questions at sleeperwire@gmail.com. We are also on Sleeperbot. I'm on there as Professor Chris. Hoos is Prophet Hoos. We're on the Great Fantasy Life app. I'm on there at Seymour Sleeperwire. And Hoos, did you change your name there as well?
Yep, Prophet Hoos.
Yeah, Prophet Hoos there as well.
So look at him. He's like branding himself. Places. I mean, geez.
Thanks to Steve. Thanks to Steve.
Yeah, I haven't changed mine to Professor Chris over there yet, but that's coming.
All right, well, then I'll have to work on my new cool nickname, I guess. Because it just seems like the thing to do today. So I'll just have to work on that. And nobody else is coming up with that because they'll just come up with stupid-ass nicknames that I won't appreciate. So, all right, guys. So one last thing before we go. I just want to remind everybody that, you know, in case you don't know, we have a dear friend of ours named Rob. It's dealing with chronic Lyme disease. We talk about this every single episode because it is that important. I mean, it's really important that we get the word out to you guys. So please, please go to GoFundMe.com/RobJR. He works on the show. He helps us a lot when he can, when he's not in the hospital dealing with all his illness and everything. So please go there. Go donate whatever you can towards treatments he can get to make himself better. And if you need more information, want to find out more about Rob's story, please go to sleepwire.com, or as I mentioned, again, the website is gofundme.com/RobJR. Hoos, thank you so much for joining me on today's show. I'm glad you had a good time creeping it up with Jake.
Well, anytime.
Chris, again, thank you so much for being on today. I appreciate you, you know, keeping it normal, you know, for Hoos's being here.
Yeah, I had to.
Yeah. We all have to try, you know, we have to try. Well, for Chris and Hoos, I'm Nick Summerall saying so long, everybody. Good night.